brethren, if anyone among you, meaning anybody in the church, wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and thank you for tuning in for the midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his series in the New Testament epistle of Jude, titled, Earnestly Contend for the Faith. In the message today, Pastor Bill teaches us how to contend for the faith. Now, Pastor.
Amen. You know, as we look at this final passage in this great little epistle, you know, we're going to be looking at this morning contending for the faith. And, you know, before I get into that, you know, I told the early service that, you know, that's the intellectual service, you know. I'm joking. But not really, but anyway. You know, I was thinking this morning because, you know, I always kind of struggle, okay, what title do I put on it and all this stuff, and I have to get that ready to send to the media team. And I was thinking, do you think the Apostle Paul ever struggled with a title? Do you ever think, I got to get these scriptures sent over to the Jewish believers? I mean, do you follow me? You know how different things have become? Think about that for a moment. You say, well, Bill, you're really weird. No, that's not weird. I mean, think about it for a moment. Can you imagine Peter going, well, I've got to get this title here. You know, the Word of God is the Word of God, and every scripture is a title, worthy of a title. Amen? Amen? So, but we're talking this morning about contending for the faith that's been delivered unto us, and we have learned in these short 25 verses who the apostates are. They are pretenders. They are not saved. They say they're saved. They say they believe in Jesus. They say that they love Jesus, but they don't love Jesus. They don't love the sheep. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen? And we've learned that no matter how concise and small this little epistle is, it's actually one of the most important epistles in the New Testament, as it is the only one who gives entirely devoted to apostasy. And we've learned that we ourselves, just like the generation there with Jude, that there's going to be false teachers in the last days. Amen? There's going to be mockers in the last days. We've learned that. Nothing has changed. But in this epistle, we've learned something. I pray you have. We've learned how to identify a spot or a well without water or waterless clouds or a twice dead people. Do you understand? Meaning the pretenders, meaning the false teachers. All these incredible characteristics that Jude has given unto us. Now this morning, we're going to learn something else. One of the most important things we can learn. Now that we learned all of those things, we must learn how to contend for the faith, and we do so in love, speaking the truth in love, contend for the faith that has been delivered not only to the readers then, but to every generation, which is the Word of God. Amen? So remember that in the first 16 verses of Jude, there's not one imperative, a command, although I do believe that verse 3, where he exhorts us to contend earnestly for the faith, that is a present, active, meaning that it surely is an implied command. That's something we must do. But now we're going to learn from the remainder of the commands in Jude on how to contend for the faith. And I want you to just look, if you don't mind, of these last commands. In verse 20 and 21, you'll find the word building, praying, keeping, looking. Those are commands. Verse 22, have compassion, command. And then in verse 23, there are two commands where it says, others save and hating. Let's begin this morning in verse 20. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on, that's a very important word, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So Jude starts out now, and he is giving us a contrast between us and those, or he called them these people, these false teachers and pretenders and apostates and so forth. He says, but you're loved. You know that God loves you? No, no, you are the beloved of God because we are the children of God. Amen? And God is love, and he loves us, and he gives us a command now. And it's so important. It's the number one command in our text. It says you have to do something, meaning that you are responsible, believer. You're responsible for everything I'm going to say now. You have to do these things. And if God gives you a commandment, he's not asking you to fulfill it in your flesh. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen? Okay, so his commandments are always our enablements, okay? So he says, building yourself up, command, our personal responsibility. But building up here, it literally means to build upon something which has already been built. You don't build it. It's already for you right there. That's why he says building on. Well, building on what? Well, the foundation that God has already laid. It's not talking about our faith, most holy faith. It's not talking about, you know, the faith that we exercise, most holy faith, or the faith that has been set apart above every other faith in the world. Boy, it's the word of the living God, amen? It's the Bible that we hold in our hands and that we study. And it's been entrusted to every believer, and we are to contend for it. We're not contentious, not mean. Again, we speak the truth in love. But we build ourselves up, it says, on your most holy faith. You know why it's most holy? Because it comes from a most holy God, doesn't it? The word of God that we have. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is God-breathed. Amen? All the word of God that we go, it's given by the inspiration of God, and it helps us in every area of our life. It says that it's profitable for doctrine. So the Bible is for teaching how to be right, how to live right in our lives. It's profitable for, it says, reproof. That's what is not right. And then profitable for correction. That's how to get right in your life. Profitable for instruction or training in righteousness. That's how to live right among other people and to live right before God. And it says that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you don't know the word of God, God says you're not complete. You're not even equipped to face anything in your life. And what in context, it means that if you are not in the word of God, a student of the word of God, how in the world can you defend the word of God? How can you contend with others concerning the word of God unless you know scripture? The best defense against false doctrine, loved one, is sound doctrine, okay? What is sound doctrine? What does that mean? The word sound means healthy teaching, okay? So healthy teaching, if applied, should produce spiritually healthy sheep, amen? But you have to apply the truth of scripture. And here's the problem. So many believers, especially in this generation, they believe, okay, now that I'm saved, God's going to do it all. Loved one, listen to me. God is working in you. He's giving you the Holy Spirit. He's giving you everything you need for living a life of godliness. Amen. Partakers of the divine nature, all those things. You have everything given to you. However, spiritual growth, is it automatic? No. I mean, don't you wish you could just, I'm born again, now I'm the Apostle Paul. No, it doesn't work that way. Spiritual growth is not automatic, and neither is spiritual maturity. That's why Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he told him this, 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, be diligent. That word means make every effort in your life to present yourself approved to God. Well, how do you do that? He tells us. He says, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it. Do you know that takes time? Do you know that takes labor, spiritual labor? Every Christian, from the youngest to the oldest, listen, you should have had, the moment you're born again, you should start building your own library, whether it's online or in your home, amen? So you can study scripture. I mean, good quality commentaries or what dictionaries where you can go through and do word studies or whatever so you can learn the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God and start learning the Word of God, you cannot rightly divide the Word of God. And if you don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God, you can listen to other people, false teachers, and they may be wrongly dividing the Word of God, but you don't get it because you've not learned. Listen, to be skillful in the Word of God. There is only one way. You have to spend time in the Word of God. There's no other way. You have to be a student of Scripture. You know, you can't build yourselves up. You cannot contend for the faith without the Word of God. You remember Job? I mean, if you talk, does anyone here want to be Job? Not unless it's the last few chapters. Amen? Those are the best. Did he go through it? Did he lose everything? Did he lose his family? Did he lose his wife? No, he did not. God knows what to do. No, did he lose his wealth? Did he lose his health? Did he sit in an ash heap? Was he covered with boils? Did he break up a clay pottery so one sharp edge and start scraping the boils off of his arms, his chest, his face? Did he? Yes. How in the world did Job really survive? Was he just a stoic man who had the strength to do it? No, let me tell you how he survived. You ready? Let me give you the scripture. Job 23:12. Job says, I have not departed from the commandment of God's lips. Boy, I'll tell you, that is one way. He knew the Word of God. God says, you know, here I am. I'm in this mess. I don't know what to do. But he says, I'm going to be obedient to what God says because God knows everything. Amen? And then he did something else. He said, not only did I obey the commandments of his lips, I have treasured the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. Can that be said to us today? I'm going to ask you a question. How much time, and this is not beating you up, I love you, but I'm asking you, how much time do you really spend in the Word of God, Christian, daily? Daily. Do you have a set time? And that may mean you have to get up an hour before you go to work, extra hour, or whatnot, but do you have a systematic way to go through the Word of God every day? If you don't, how are you going to grow? How are you going to learn? How are you going to know the truth that sets you free? Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He hates you. He hates everybody equally, believe me. He doesn't like anyone. But his pretenders, those apostates, those false teachers, they're just like their master, the devil. And let me tell you what they do. They attack the mind. Amen? They attack your mind. And if you are not skillful in the Word of God, boy, they can get you. They can make you believe a lie because that just sounds good, man. That's got to be right. Listen to me. False teachers love an immature Christian whose mind is empty of the Word of God. They love it. Who never really apply themselves. Boy, they love to go to church, love to go to these meetings, but they never open their Bible. They're not growing in the Word of God. And listen, that empty mind, loved one, of God's Word means that mind is unrenewed. It means that mind is unprepared. It means that mind is completely unarmed. Listen, life is hard. People say, come to Christ and everything's going to be over with. No, that's when your troubles begin. Amen? Jesus told us, he said, listen, you got to do something. The storms of this life, and they're going to blow through your life. And okay? And what did he do in Matthew 7:24? He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the storms of life came, but it didn't blow that house down. Loved one, these sayings of mine is the rock, amen, the sayings of Jesus. But if you don't do that, you hear him and you don't do him, he says, you're like a person building your life on sand. See, we have to do something. We have to really believe what Paul said. If you ever studied out the book of Romans, he goes through 11 chapters telling you who you are in Christ and what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us, never asking us to do one thing until we come to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Then in verse 1, he says, by the power of the Spirit, he uses a word. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I urge you, I beg you, I'm pleading with you. That's the Holy Spirit in Paul to the church, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service, amen? And it tells us, and that you be transformed, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind to the Word of God, or you won't know the will of God. You won't know the plan of God that he has for his life. And you won't really fall in love and know God the Father and Jesus, our Savior, like you should. So we have to renew our minds. And not only that, we have to desire it. Remember in 1 Peter 2:1, it says, he writes, therefore, laying aside. That word means to eliminate. He says, therefore, eliminate all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. Then in verse 2, here it comes. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. You look up that word desire, it means intense craving. It is a spiritual hunger. Listen, the pure milk of the word. Have you ever seen a child? When they need, you know what I'm saying? Are they aggressive? They know what they want. Okay, well, this is what it's saying. You have to go after it. You have to desire it. The pure milk of the word, not these easy belief sermons and all the everything. This is just about how good you are and how great you are. No, that we don't need that stuff. Amen. No, we want the pure word of God. We don't want it watered down. We don't want easy believism. I need the truth that's going to set me free. Watered down truth, anemic truth, will not set us free. Amen? He says, so you are to desire the pure milk of the word, pure, since that's the word of God. He says, that you may grow thereby. It's impossible to grow. It's impossible to contend for the faith that's been delivered unto us unless you are in and know and grow in God's word. Now, look at verse 20 again. It says, now, you know, building yourselves up, that command on your most holy faith. And here's the next command, praying in, that's a very important word, praying in the Holy Spirit. So first I want to say something. We cannot separate God's word from prayer. You can't do it. Now, there's two reasons I'm going to give you. The first one is that when I open my Bible and I read the word of God, is this God speaking to me? Okay, now when I pray, that's me speaking to God, amen? Okay, you can't separate that. But also, you need to know how we should pray in the Spirit. How do you know how to pray unless you know the Word of God? Let me give you a few scriptures. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, that means pray, if we ask anything according to His will. Now, let me ask you a question. Where is God's will found? In the Bible. So if you don't know the Word of God, you're not familiar with the Word of God, then you don't know exactly what His will might be. And so how can we pray His will if we don't know it? We have to get into the Word of God. So let me read it again. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. How about Jesus? He said this, John 15:7. If you abide in me, I abide you abide in me. Listen to the condition now. If you abide in me, and then He says, and if my words abide in you, if the Word of God, Jesus is the Word. Amen? Okay. He says, and my words abide in you. You will ask, you will pray, whatever you desire, and listen to the promise. Now, it will be done for you. Now, I know false teachers who have made a doctrine out of that one scripture. Just, yeah, you abide in Him. Just ask. He said, anything. Loved one, listen, the reason that you get in trouble there is that only when you renew your mind will you know the will of God. Amen? And that also means that you will ask God for right things because you know the Word of God, not wrong things. Amen? Okay. Now, the second thing I want you to see here in this word says praying in the Holy Spirit, you cannot separate, the Christian cannot separate prayer from the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. And that's a command, loved one, praying in the Spirit, meaning this is your responsibility. Now, you know, when you say, well, Bill, what does praying in the Spirit mean? Well, first of all, it means that we can do what the pretenders in verse 19 could never do. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They weren't born again. They weren't sealed with the Spirit. Amen? But we are. We're sealed with the Spirit. We've been filled with the Spirit. And we can pray in the Spirit as well. So to pray in the Spirit means this. Number one, you have the greatest prayer partner, assistant in prayer in the entire universe. You have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? So when it says praying in the Holy Spirit, that means praying in the sphere, if you will, of the Spirit of God. Why? He is our helper. The Holy Spirit is not only our divine helper, He's our divine strengthener. Amen. He's our divine comforter. He's our divine standby. He is the Spirit of truth. So I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit when I pray. I need Him desperately when I pray. I want His leading. I want Him to direct my praying right before the throne of God, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes I just don't know how to pray at all. Did you know that? That's why Paul, when he was writing to the church of Rome, and he said there in Romans 8:26, he said this. He says, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps us. And that word means He comes to our aid. He lends us a hand. He says, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I'm not talking about physically weak. I'm talking about spiritually weak. I don't know how to pray. Sometimes I am so burdened over an individual or the circumstance that I see. Or maybe I'm in a hospital room with a family and I'm going, Lord, what do I pray? What do I do? What do I say? They're weeping and do you understand me? Boy, I'll tell you, we need our divine helper. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Why? For we do not know how we should pray as we ought. Boy, that's a true word. We don't know how to pray. We just know that we need to pray. Amen? But Lord, help me. I need you to help me. He says, listen to what happens. But the Holy Spirit Himself, who lives in us, makes intercession for us. He intercedes. He pleads on our behalf as we're struggling in prayer. And it says, with groanings which cannot be uttered, and He leads us and directs us, inspires us to go and pray into the perfect will of God. Loved one, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Praying in the Spirit, what is it? It's dependence. I need all the help I can get in prayer. Prayer is the most neglected spiritual discipline in the Church of Jesus Christ. Man, and it's so vital that we must pray, because I don't know how to pray. Somebody came up to me the other day, well, Bill, how can I pray for you? What specifically? And I go, I don't know. And I say, but I tell you what you can do. Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit? Because He knows what I need. And so then you go to prayer and say, well, Lord, what's building? And all of a sudden, something starts coming up into you, or you're praying for an individual, or maybe you're in your private prayer time and you have your little list, okay? And you've prayed for all of them, but all of a sudden the Lord puts a picture in your mind of this someone in the church or somebody else that you know, and all of a sudden you're praying and then you don't know what to say, and then it just comes up in you. That's happened to every Christian, I'm sure. And you start praying and you're going, oh, this is good. But you know it's not you. And you kind of strut around. I mean, come on, that spiritual strut. You know what I'm saying? No. It ain't you. You know it ain't you. And boy, when that happens, you say, oh God, you're so good. Amen? That's important. Listen, I remember my first pastor many, many years ago. I was so burdened. I felt like there was a cloud upon me. And I mean, literally. And it was winter and it was dark and I was driving into Fort Worth. And I was way, way out. I was about 100 miles from Fort Worth and coming in from the church I was pastoring. And to make a long story short, I just said, Lord, this burden, what is wrong? Have I sinned? Or just tell me what it is. And as I was out there in the country, all of a sudden it lifted. It was completely gone. I mean, it was just like unbelievable. And as I did that, I looked over and there was a roadside park to my left and went on into town and came back to the church that Sunday and so forth. And a Christian plumber in the church came up to me and said, hey, Bill, how you doing, man? I said, I'm doing great. He says, you know what? I was out, had a plumbing job out there out in the country, and I saw a roadside park, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you better pull over and pray for Bill. He's in trouble. And I said, oh my gosh. There was a roadside. I passed it. It was lifted. And I said, what day were you there? He told me, I said, that was the exact day and time I was there. You see, that's how the Holy Spirit works. Does that make sense? So we pray in the Spirit. He knows what we need. Now, question, how much time do you really spend in prayer? Do you ever ask the Holy Spirit to help you? I ask Him all the time.
Once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the ending of today's message. We appreciate you listening to the broadcast today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.